Mark Joba, Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's beard and tattoo-filled Lower Hay. Today is Thursday, the 9th of April, 2015. On this date in 1682, LaSalle discovers the mouth of the Mississippi River, claims it for France, and names it Louisiana. 1859, Mark Twain receives his steamboat pilot's license. 1860, the oldest known recording of an audible human voice is made. 1865, Robert E. Lee surrenders at Appomattox. The terms were agreed. A band starts playing. Grant shushed them and said, "The war is over. The rebels are our countrymen again." 1867, passing by a single vote, the United States ratifies a treaty with Russia for the purchase of Alaska. 1939, after being denied the right to sing at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall, Marian Anderson sings at the Lincoln Memorial. 1940, Germany invades Norway and Denmark. 1957, the Suez Canal in Egypt opens to shipping. 1989, a peaceful demonstration in Tbilisi is dispersed by the Soviet army, resulting in more than 20 deaths and hundreds of injuries. 2 years later, Georgia declares independence from the Soviet Union. 2003, Baghdad falls to the American forces, mostly, kind of. Birthdays are photographer Edward Muybridge, mass murderer Belgian monarch Leopold II, actor Paul Robeson, Lothario Hugh Hefner, guitarist Carl Perkins, and actor Dennis Quaid. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politrek column this week is about the U.S.-EU deal with Iran and what it means for Georgia. The last couple of years, Georgia has badly mismanaged its relations with Iran. Now there's a big opportunity to fix that and a big payoff. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tepeelpod.com or send us an email at tepeelpod@gmail.com. I always say that every single podcast about asking questions, but I have to say we don't get so many. I mean, here I am, a walking encyclopedia of things Georgian, a veritable geyser of pithy analytical nuggets, just waiting to address whatever you want me to address. So stock up quick before the offer is withdrawn. Following up on last week's story on information about the France air defense deal from 2014, on the 3rd of April, former Defense Minister Irakli Alassani detailed how the French air defense treaty was stopped. He accused the government of failing to implement the treaty. The Free Democrats in Parliament proposed setting up a parliamentary investigation commission to look into it. As a reminder, Alassani claims that his subordinate at the time, current Defense Minister Mindy Janalidze, called him and asked him not to sign the treaty in October 2014. Alassani signed it, and the same day, five employees at his ministry were detained and accused of embezzlement. Last week, Janalidze denied that he had called Alassani telling him not to sign the treaty, but then it came out that it was true. Alassani said he's speaking about it only now because he was hoping that the treaty would come into force, but it's now expired and the chance was missed. The French ambassador in Tbilisi, Renaud Salines, who, by the way, speaks fluent Persian, said that discussions continue on the treaty. On the 4th of April, speaking both on the public broadcaster and on Maestro TV, Defense Minister Janalidze strongly denied Alassania's allegations and said that talks on purchasing an air defense system from France are continuing, are well on track, and will have its logical conclusion. He, however, also said that rumors and political speculation has harmed this process to some extent. Moreover, he specified that what Alassani signed was a memorandum and not a treaty, that a treaty is followed by certain obligations to be fulfilled by the parties, while a memorandum is sort of a declaration about the goodwill of the parties. After Alassani's press conference, representatives from the Free Democrats and the Tbilisi City Council withdrew from the party as a faction, citing incompatibility with the party. Even though the Free Democrats have been in opposition since November 2014, the Tbilisi City Council faction has been voting in favor with the ruling party. Some expect that they will now join the ruling coalition in some way. This treaty and or memo thing is a smokescreen. It was really a memo. Basically, Georgia buying French air defense stuff and getting the training to use it. This is a really complicated question. Georgia has almost no air defense right now, but it wants it. Russia clearly does not want Georgia to have it for the simple reason that it is convenient for Russia to be able to fly over Georgia whenever it wants, related to the Middle East, to Armenia, Iraq, wherever. Also, the Kremlin has many times simply sent over a plane to drop a bomb and then flown back, just to show who's boss. One time they killed a shepherd, I remember. way back when. So if Georgia has air defense, they might shoot down one of those planes, and that would be a big deal. What would happen? Would whatever happened be good for Georgia and the world regarding the Kremlin? We do know two things for sure. They lie a lot, and they like war with neighbors. So if Georgia gets air defense, which it has every right to get, and that bothers Russia a lot, and Russia sends a plane over to bomb some field, and the plane gets shot down by some enthusiastic major manning the thing for at that particular time, that could be exactly what the Kremlin wants, to give themselves some idiotic pretext to occupy Samskachevacheti or wherever. But, of course, they also sent over a lot of planes in 2008 that bombed tons of infrastructure and every single military base and military installation, everything else in Georgia. I remember watching them from my balcony in Tbilisi at the time. And Georgia has every right and arguably a duty to protect itself from that and to protect its own airspace. So, complicated question. But it does seem, with the timing of the completely ridiculous firing of the deputy ministers and the investigation into corruption, whatever, which was wholly manufactured, that it seems to be very closely tied with Georgia getting air defense, which we all know is something that Russia very badly does not want Georgia to have. So connecting the dots there, there's that. A police officer in Tbilisi was shot and killed while on duty on the 4th of April, and one other police officer was injured. Police across the country are engaged in a large-scale hunt for the suspected killer. The chief prosecuting officer released the chief prosecutor's office released a photo of the suspect, Shalva Abuladze, and warned that he is armed and extremely dangerous. Earlier this year, he was convicted of attacking two police officers in Borjomi, one of whom later died from his injuries. Abuladze was previously in prison and was pardoned in November 2013. The parole board deemed that he had put his criminal past behind him. According to representatives of the parole board, Abuladze served almost 8 years. He was serving a 20-year sentence for attempted murder, illegally carrying a gun, and using marijuana. His sentence was first cut in half by the amnesty law, then he was released by the parole commission. The head of the parliament's human rights committee, Eke Beselia, maintained that the suspect was not released because of the amnesty, but because he was pardoned. She said that only 6% of those released in the amnesty laws have committed new crimes, and the amnesty law didn't concern violent crimes. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. The killing of the police officer has spurred discussion about the power of the police. Deputy Interior Minister Levani Zoria announced that the government is drafting a bill to increase police powers. Free Democrats spoke about strengthening law enforcement bodies. Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani also says that the strategy to fight crime must be revised. Two teenagers from Pankisi Gorge, aged 16 and 18, left to Turkey and are feared to be heading to Syria to join IS or Daesh. According to an interview with the mother of one of the boys, her son went to school on the 2nd of April and never returned. The grandmother of the 16-year-old told the Kakheti Information Center news site that her grandson had never even been to Tbilisi before. He could not have left the country independently without assistance and guidance from someone else. She also said that the family learned from schoolmates that recently he was missing classes frequently and was often seen in a mosque in the village of Omalo. On the 6th of April, the Council of Elders in Pankisi appealed to the authorities to take measures against the recruitment of local youth for the purposes of sending them to Syria to join the Islamic State fighters. The influence of the Council of Elders, which is made up mostly of followers of Sufi Islam and is the sort of old, more native entity that has been there for a long time, has been declining amid the growing influence of Salafi Islam or Wahhabism, which is the Saudi Arabia-promoted fundamentalism that has taken root since the Second Chechen War started as soon as those apartment buildings were blown up by the KGB when Putin came to the Kremlin. The case was also triggered questions about how the 16-year-old managed to cross the border and through the airport independently without written consent from his parents. Georgia and Turkey have passport-free border crossing rules, and citizens can travel between the two countries with ID cards, but underage children require parental consent in order to travel abroad independently. Interior Minister Vakhtang Gomalauri said that an officer in charge of passport control at the Tbilisi airport mishandled the case, and the ministry's internal investigations unit was looking into it. group of NGOs in Georgia are reviving their campaign, This Affects You Too. They are launching a lawsuit against the Ministry of Internal Affairs for having direct access to communication operators' networks and thus having the ability to eavesdrop on citizens without any checks. They've submitted a lawsuit to the Constitutional Court to abolish amendments to secret surveillance legislation that were adopted in November 2014. They claim that the amendments contradict three articles of the Constitution of Georgia, Article 20 guaranteeing the inviolability of citizens' private life, space of personal activity, personal records, correspondence, communications by telephone, and it clearly violates those by any interpretation. And if they can get the Constitutional Court to say it, it will be very embarrassing for the Constitutional Court to pretend that it does not violate that code. Article 16, the right of free development of personality. Article 41, that guarantees the information in official documents about one's health, finance, and private matters shall not be accessible to anyone without consent except cases determined by law when it is necessary for ensuring state security or public safety. Public Defender's Office is also filing a lawsuit in the Constitutional Court to challenge the surveillance regulation in respect to one clause of the Constitution related to the inviolability of citizens' private life. As a note, the process of the Constitutional Court are quite time-consuming and sometimes take over a year for a case to be brought to conclusion. That's particularly true when somebody's telling the court to put the papers at the bottom of the inbox. Romania's defense minister was on a two-day official visit to Tbilisi starting on the 5th of April. He met with Defense Minister Mindia Jonalidze, President Mark Balashvili, Prime Minister Khadabashvili, and the Chairman of the Parliamentary Committees for Defense and Foreign Affairs. The Danish, Polish, and Swedish foreign ministers, not Carl Bildt, but the new one from the more left government, will visit Georgia on the 14th of April, according to the Foreign Ministry spokesman. It will be the Danish foreign minister's third visit to Georgia within 1 year. During the visit, Foreign Minister Tomrico Beruchashvili and the Polish foreign minister will sign a memorandum on establishing the Tbilisi Conference, a new format of cooperation which will focus on sharing Poland's experience with Europeanization to help Georgia realize its European and Euro-Atlantic aspirations. Prime Minister Khadabashvili was campaigning last week in favor of mining in the ancient Sakdrisi gold mine in the Bolnisi region. He defended the destruction of the mine, arguing that locals need jobs. Appearing with employees of RMG Gold at the municipal building in Marnauli, he blamed the UNM for being behind the Save Sakdrisi campaign, which we know is complete crap, because there are lots of people not connected with the UNM that are very concerned about it. As a note, the mine was destroyed by mining blast in December 2014. Khadabashvili said that the workers asked him to get rid of the national movement because they don't let them do their work, and now thousands will be unemployed. Khadabashvili promised the workers that the government won't let the company's activities be halted. On the 2nd of April, the Free Democrats had asked Parliament to make advancements in an earlier decision to have an inquest into the destruction of the site, which, by the way, was completely illegal, but again received resistance from ruling coalition delegates. From what I've heard, Bidzina Ivanishvili takes a personal interest in this issue and perhaps financial interest. UK ratified the association agreement between the EU and Georgia. The UK's Secretary of State for Foreign Commonwealth Affairs signed the document, meaning Britain has completed the ratification process. On the 7th of April, the Parliament of the Netherlands ratified the association agreement. Portugal's National Assembly also voted in favor of ratifying the association agreement. The defense ministers of Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Turkey held the second trilateral meeting on the 2nd of April in Tbilisi. The first meeting was a trilateral format with the trilateral format was held August 2014 in Nakhichevan, Azerbaijan, where the defense ministers agreed to hold such meetings on a regular basis once in 6 months. The next meeting will be held in Turkey in autumn, according to the Ministry of Defense. Defense Minister Jonalidze offered his Azerbaijani and Turkish counterparts the idea of carrying out joint training courses at the Saçkere Mountain Training School. A delegation from the OSCE's Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights, i.e. ODIHR, arrived in Tbilisi on the 6th of April. They toured villages near the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia and the IDP settlement Serovani. Last week, the first Deputy State Minister on Europe and Euro-Atlantic Integration presented Georgia's annual National Program, or ANP, for 2015 to NATO members and allies at a special meeting at the NATO headquarters in Brussels. Georgian delegation consisting of foreign ministers, the special envoy for relations with Russia, and state ministers met with senior officials from the EU's diplomatic service in Brussels on the 1st of April. They discussed issues related to Abkhazia, South Ossetia, Geneva talks. In Brussels, Foreign Minister Berishvili met with the first vice president of the European Commission, the European Commissioner for Trade, and her Belgian counterpart. Investment company Hualing Group plans to invest $30 million by 2020 in the Kutaisi Free Industrial Zone. The term of the industrial zone functioning on the territory of the former Kutaisi automotive plant is defined for 30 years, according to a government report. The Free Industrial Zone will be operational from the 1st of October, and up to five Chinese companies will start production. Negotiations are completed with the Chinese companies. They plan to produce and process construction materials and light industrial products. Former U.S. Embassy building on Antonelli Street near Freedom Square will not be sold. It was on a list of state-owned properties that were going to be privatized as part of a government strategy to overcome the economic crisis related to the drop of the lottie. Reportedly, a government body will move into the building, though it is not known yet which one. In 2013, there was discussion of moving the president's residence to the building on Antonelli Street rather than the use of the presidential palace, but eventually President Margvelashvili moved into Misha's presidential palace in Avlabadi. Head of the National Agency of State Property explained that the Antonelli residence was refurbished as a residence for a high official, and so there were no expressions of interest in purchasing it, and that it would be too difficult to make the building suitable for commercial purposes. Economy Minister Gheorghe Kvitakashvili recently mentioned that the foreign ministry will likely move into the Antonelli residence. For those who don't know, this is the former U.S. embassy, before the U.S. embassy, coerced by Congress with a mandatory setback that was passed after the bombings in Tanzania and in Kenya. U.S. embassies have to be very far set back from the road, and so they built the Turkish box that they have out in the Northwest Territories right now and moved away from the beautiful Orbeliani Palace, which is what that building was for many years before the revolution. According to a new report by the Ombudsman, Georgia has not taken steps towards protecting the rights of sexual minorities. The Ombudsman's 2013 report on human rights proposed recommendations to ensure the protection of LGBT rights, but says now that none of the recommendations were followed. Instead, there is an increase in homophobic attitudes and in homophobic hate crimes. In May 2014, Parliament passed anti-discrimination laws after waves of criticism and resistance. Even so, the law still doesn't ensure the rights of transgender people. Many transgender people face obstacles registering public documents after having sex change operations. The Ombudsman writes that in 2014, transgender sex workers appealed to the office many times because of police harassment. According to an investigation by the German public broadcaster, there is a fraud net through which unsafe vehicles are being brought from Germany to Georgia. They said hundreds of cars that have been totaled in Germany are cut in two and then brought to Georgia in containers. German journalists tracked down one such container at Batumi Port. The cars are reconstructed in Georgia and sold as new cars for an average of $7,400. The German public broadcaster story was also aired on Rustaviori. You can easily tell that if you look at the engine numbers and then Google them. You can find on manifest charts that those cars have been totaled, at least in the United States, and I would imagine it's often the same in Germany. So if you're buying a foreign car, it's better to get somebody to buy it in Germany and drive it down rather than getting it in the car market. Marnoli Governor Merab Topchishvili claims that on the 7th of April, a Georgian Dream member of the Marnoli City Assembly, Joksun Zeylov, was verbally and then physically attacked by UNM member Givi Kveladze and his son in front of the local administration building. The governor said that UNM guys were forcing the Georgian Dream guy to say that the government sold 4 acres of land to his father in 2012. However, Zainalov said he has a document confirming the land was sold in 2010. Swiss company Geotest will provide landslide monitoring in the Dariali Valley. The monitoring system will provide a few minutes warning in case of landslides. The deal was arranged through the Environmental Protection Ministry. In the summer of 2014, the valley was hit by several massive landslides that killed a number of people and twice cut the gas supply to Armenia. The disasters were connected with Devdoraki Glacier, which the devices will monitor. Investigation Department of the Ministry of Finance has arrested one individual for possession and passing a large amount of counterfeit money. The person brought a large amount of fake Turkish lira to Georgia. Under Article 212 of the Criminal Code, the criminal crime carries a prison term of 4 to 7 years. Russian cellular communications company Megafon has entered Georgia. Together, the Georgian telecommunications operator Silknet, Megafon organized the first land border crossing trunk station-to-station line between Russia and Georgia along the route from Upper Larcy and Kazbegi. The length of the main portion is 37 kilometers, and the initial capacity of the highway is 100 gigabits per second. Representative of Megafon emphasized that they have a long experience of cooperation with Azerbaijan. They said Georgia is interesting to the company in terms of transit projects, but was lacking a direct interconnection between the countries. Megafon did not disclose the amount, the investment in the project. It will be put into commercial operations in 2015. As a note, in 2009, the National Commission for Communications fined Megafon 1 million lari for conducting illegal activities in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, where Megafon units Aquafon, GSM, and Ostelcom are operating. On the night of the 8th of April, four Nigerian students were found dead in their Tbilisi apartment, apparently from gas poisoning due to a faulty water heater. Three of them were students at Tbilisi State Medical University and one at Georgia University. Friends say the four students disappeared. They called police, who broke into the students' apartment. The bodies have been taken to the National Forensic Bureau. That's sad. Within the framework of the EU Association Agreement, the Ministry of Health signed a long-term agreement with the international advisory group Global Alliance for Health and Social Compact. The aim is to bring the country's healthcare system in line with European standards while also reducing healthcare costs. The government of Ajada introduced several investment projects worth more than $1 billion that will be implemented over the next 5 years. Not a lot more information on specifics from that for now. On the 7th of April, President Margvelashvili awarded the Health Minister, Dato Segenenko, St. George's Order for Victory for his personal contribution to the country's successful healthcare reforms and for his high level of professionalism while performing his duties. It's the country's second highest award following the Order of National Hero. Cicavrelli wine from Guria was awarded a Diamond Trophy, which is the highest award of the Sakura Japan Women's Wine Awards. The Guruli Cicavrelli wine is produced by the Lucchese Wine Company. U.S. Coast Guard Academy honored the two Georgian military cadets that were studying in the U.S. who were killed in a car accident in New Jersey in February. Memorial ceremony was held at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut on the 1st of April. Two Georgian government projects are participating along with 1,000 other projects for the World Summit on Information Society, WSIS Project Prize 2015. The communication projects are about raising awareness for community and local issues. Georgia's are Choose Your Profession by the Ministry of Sports and Youth Affairs and Introduction of E-Governance and Local Government by the Public Service Development Agency of the Ministry of Justice. Winning projects will be announced at the 2015 WSIS Forum in late May in Geneva. Georgian specialists are working to restore the ruins of the medieval Geguti Palace near Kutaisi. It was constructed under Queen Tamar in the 12th century and used as the royal summer residence. The ruins of the palace complex covered an area of more than 2,000 square meters along the Rioni River. According to the National Agency for Cultural Heritage Preservation, restoration work will officially begin in May, but foundation work already started last year. Georgia and Armenia are establishing new cross-country electricity power line. The project is expected to be completed by 2022. Georgia and Armenia signed a construction contract last year. They will construct two 350-megawatt power lines. The European Investment Bank and German bank KfW provided 95 million euro loan to Armenia to implement the project. Meanwhile, Georgia's power network is currently trying to attract 10 to 12 million euro from different donor organizations so it can complete its side of the work. Complete information detailing five Georgian cities will soon be published on Google Maps. Currently, only a small portion of Tbilisi is on Google Maps. Soon it will include the whole city, as well as Gori, Rustavi, Mscheta, and Poti. The initiative was organized by the National Agency of Public Registry. The Ministry of Health announced a new project to bring doctors to Georgia's mountainous regions. The doctors working in the regions for the last 3 years will get their residency programs funded by the government. For at least 3 years will get their residency programs funded by the government. The 9th of April is a public holiday and Memorial Day in Georgia for peaceful protesters who were killed by Soviet troops, as mentioned above. 26 years ago, people and officials gathered outside the parliament building on Rustavi and lit candles today. The remains of dozens of Georgian soldiers killed in the 2008 war with Russia were finally buried at Mukhat Gverdi Cemetery of Unknown Soldiers. There was a ceremony on the 2nd of April. The partial remains of about 40 soldiers were identified by DNA analysis. Ministry of Environment is embarking on a campaign to reduce the usage of plastic bags and replace them with biodegradable bags. PSP Pharmacy pledged to support the campaign and is the first commercial organization to replace plastic bags with new biodegradable ones in their stores. Reportedly, other major Georgian businesses that supported the initiative will be switching to biodegradable bags soon. Pegasus Airlines announced new Kutaisi-Istanbul flights that will launch on the 19th of May. Price of tickets from Kutaisi to Istanbul will start from 30 euros. Kutaisi-Istanbul route will run 3 times a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. Tbilisi City Council is naming 10 streets after famous Georgian women. Apparently, the streets didn't have names yet. Among the names selected are writer Anastasia Tumanishvili Tsereteli, philanthropist Mariam Jambaur Orbeliani, publicist writer Miriam Ivanishvili Demuria. City Council will decide whether to approve the proposed new street names at the end of April. The village of Hunevi in Imereti was evacuated on the night of the 5th of April after a leak of liquid oxygen from an overturned truck. Firefighters and employees of the Chemical Radiation and Biological Incident Department spent several hours decontaminating the truck and the tank in order to avoid an explosion. The road through Rikoti Pass, which connects the eastern and western parts of the country, was blocked for a few hours. Tbilisi hosted a charity performance by renowned Latvian theater company New Riga Theater late in March. The money from the ticket sales was donated to the Solidarity Fund, which supports children with cancer. As a reminder, the Solidarity Fund was a proposal of the Prime Minister, which encourages the public and private sectors to donate money to cover the cost of medical treatment for ill children. Prime Minister Khadivashvili and his wife Nunu Tamazashvili had a son born on the 7th of April. They named him Gabrieli. This is their third child. Khadivashvili and Tamazashvili have two older sons, Nikolos, born in 2005, and Andrea, born in 2010. The film Corn Island was awarded the special jury prize at the Tetouan International Mediterranean Film Festival in Morocco, which was held from the 28th of March to the 4th of April. And the Synthetic Theater, based in Washington, D.C., but created by a Georgian couple, received 3 awards, the Helen Hayes Awards, for outstanding costume design and outstanding choreography. And their version of the Shakespearean play Twelfth Night was awarded outstanding ensemble. Tennis player Nikolos Basilashvili claimed his second ATP Challenger Tour crown after defeating a Slovakian competitor in the Electra Israel Open final. Tbilisi hosted the Global Youth Speak Forum on the 4th of April. The forum was organized by Global Students ISEC and focused on the topic of youth unemployment. ISEC is a global, non-political, not-for-profit organization run by students. Mezzo-soprano Nino Machaidze made her European debut as Violetta in Giuseppe Verdi's La Traviata at the Hamburg State Opera on the 4th of April. In parliamentary news, on the 2nd of April, Parliament elected new heads to 4 parliamentary committees. All are from the Georgian Dream Coalition. Tiniko Khidasheli was appointed as the new chairperson of the European Integration Committee, replacing Viktor Golidze. Tamas Michiaouri became the head of the Financial and Budgetary Committee, replacing Dato Onoprashvili. Gia Giorgioliani was appointed as head of the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. And finally, Temudas Kwaseli became the chairperson of the Committee on Diasporas. A bill drafted by the Interior Ministry has been revised, moving the controversial wording that would criminalize calls, including strife. The bill raised concerns of human rights, I can't imagine why, of human rights and media groups over the possible restriction of freedom of expression. The government-backed draft of amendments to the criminal code was first submitted to Parliament for consideration in January 2015. It also raised concerns of some lawmakers, and a working group within the Parliamentary Committee for Legal Affairs was set up to address it. The working group was the one that tabled revised bill on the 7th of April. The revised draft, if approved by Parliament, will criminalize calls for violent actions aimed at causing enmity or discord among racial, religious, national, ethnic, social, linguistic, or other groups. The revised bill also specifies that criminal punishment should only be applied if such calls pose a direct and obvious threat. On the 8th of April, Defense Minister John Alidze appeared for the first time before lawmakers at a lengthy hearing of the Parliamentary Committee for Defense and Security. It was then followed by a closed-door meeting with a small group of lawmakers with access to classified defense-related programs to discuss the potential arms deal with France. The opening meeting, he said that Russia's military threat, combined with Moscow's intensified efforts to apply soft power aimed at forcing Tbilisi to change its pro-Western course, are among the major factors shaping the country's security environment. That Georgia's pro-Western political course comes in conflict with Russia's strategic interests in the region, and therefore there is a high risk of military threat from Georgia, the defense minister said. Yeah, I would say so. The meme this week is Patriarch Ilya II announcing during his 5th of April Sunday sermon that for people who are fasting before Easter, it's okay to eat fish, sea products, and caviar. So, if you're enforcing Christian mortification of the flesh upon yourself, caviar eating is no problem. Michael Cesari writes for Carnegie Russia on the UNM's lack of rebranding itself. This week's CRC blog is in Gender Roles in Azerbaijan. Georgian Journal tells us about how Georgians celebrate Easter. Also muses what kind of anti-aircraft system Alassani was trying to get from France. It's quite interesting and technical, but a good article. Check that out. Georgi Lomsadze of Eurasianet writes on the Aliyevs of Azerbaijan going to Mecca and the publicity around that. That's a very interesting trip. Caucasus Analytical Digest has a whole issue on women and politics. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 2.6. This was the inflation rate in March 2015. According to Geostat, prices on alcoholic beverages and cigarettes rose 10% year-on-year. Annual inflation in healthcare was 6%. Prices on food and non-alcoholic beverages increased by 3.7% year-to-year in March. National Museum is hosting an exhibition that details the establishment of Tbilisi's first local government when it was still a part of the Russian Empire. It includes documentary materials from the late 1800s. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray Tango Bravo Uniform Kilo. Our email address is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And in honor with the mouth of the discovery of the Mississippi River, we will finish with, from 1974, Randy Newman and Louisiana 1927.
What has happened down here is the wind has changed. Clouds roll in from the north and it start to rain. Rain real hard and rain for real long time. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. River rose all day, the river rose all night. Some people got lost in the flood. Some people got away all right. River has busted through, clear down the Clackamas. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. Louisiana. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. Louisiana. trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. President Coolidge come down the railroad train with a little fat man with a notepad in his hand. President say, little fat man, you need a shame. What the river has done to this poor cracker's land. Louisiana. Trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. Louisiana. Louisiana. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash.